This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I should be really careful when I say that because I have Mr. John L. Beatty on today, and he may not feel the same way I do about how great the day is. But we want to let you know that this part of John L. Beatty's show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust, Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. Good to see you today, John.
How you doing, Truman? Nice being here. It feels nice to be inside.
I guess it today is if you stay out and labor like you do. Bless your heart.
Well, it's very warm out there, and it's been warm out there for the past week, 10 days.
Well, you know, I finally get to see you because I went over to the Blackman Barbecue, and I try never to miss it.
And thank you for coming.
I told Melissa, I said, I am waiting on John because he promised me he would be here to meet me, and I never saw you. That is the first one that I've ever been to that I did not at least get a vision of where you were.
Well, that's the first, and I guess I've missed some over the years, but that's the first, and I didn't get to myself until about 7:15 or 7:30.
You've become such a fixture.
I've become a fixture and got tied up in a wreck on the other side of the Tennessee River for about 2 hours, and that just killed the day. But you got to learn how to have patience.
Well, actually, you really do, because I don't know what it is with you, but you got behind a funeral procession. Of course, that's something you really have to honor.
You know? You go to other towns and visit, not in Tennessee, but you go out and they pay no attention to it, but I think it's a great tribute.
Oh, I do too.
When the traffic stops for a funeral and honoring those. I've been in funeral processions where the people have stopped, mm-hmm, and paid respect, and so I do the same thing.
You know, one of my good buddies, and I'm sure you know him, Junior Potts passed away the other day, and that's going to leave such a hole in the community because he's one of those people. He goes back to people like you and I knew that worked hard. I mean, he would haul hay, the bale type, and he would haul cedar. I mean, he was one of the strongest men I've ever known, and just seemed like that he was one of those people that he would be here forever, and now he's gone. It's hard to see that.
We're just a parade.
Yeah, we are.
Of going in, we've seen people when we were kids in high school and all, and watched them, and a lot of them deceased, left early in life, but the memories are still there. It's what impressions they left on us.
You know, you're one of those people I remembered all my life. You and Marguerite, the Beatties, and of course, Melissa and Melissa's mom, Jean.
That's
oh,
a story.
My goodness. It's a story all in itself. And of course, you've got Brandon in your family now.
Right.
Brandon Witt. And he is such a good kid. The only thing that I can say negative about Brandon is he told me that he was going to be on this show with you today. And what happened?
Well, the way I got it, you asked him to be on, and you told me to come as his sidekick.
He gave me his card.
Okay.
It's actually, I think it's got your name on it. And he says, I would love to have John L. Well, I think he called you John L. And my cell phone. We would love to come on. And I said, okay. I said, I've been wanting John for a while.
But I told him he was going to be like Bill Brooks does. You've had him scheduled,
yeah,
several times, and Larry Ralston winds up here, not Bill.
And he promised me last time. He called me from Alabama, and he said, I am. He said, I want to come on your show, but he said, it's one of those things that I just really couldn't help. So I can't wait to call him again and find out what the next excuse is and when he will actually run out of excuses.
Well, the weather on Brandon, I will give him ever since the past weekend. We've had 112 and 114 degrees.
Unbelievable.
The corn in the field is burning up and dry, and we started chopping for silage yesterday, trying to save, because it's no hay, it's no pasture to feed this winter. So we're right in the middle of that, and we had a chain broke and a wagon unload, so we had to scoop that off this morning. Then the unload and had a valve change, and it broke right before I left. And so you got two tractors sitting in the field with choppers holding up, and so he's trying to take care of that and keep us going. And I said he could stay in the heat and I come on in here where it's air conditioned, see you. So he sends his apology, but he'll come back. It'll be a better day.
You know, of course, you've been in farming all your life.
Right.
But have you ever been through anything like you're going through now?
No, not starting this early. Now, we've had it dry, and we've had, you know, 104 and 5, but last week we were 112 one day, 114, and it's no relief. I mean, everything is, it's just crisp.
I've talked to people, farmers, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they say that they had a great stockpile of silage and hay built up because we had such a great spring and growing time, and now it's all been wiped away.
It's been wiped away. People have already started feeding hay to the cattle because they have no pasture. One boy said he's already is fed about a third of his winter supply already now, and we ain't even got through July yet. But normally you'll have it, this is kind of the middle of July, first of August weather.
It is.
And usually a lot of it will get rain. Your corn's already kind of laid by. It's made. We never got a row steer out of the field.
That's unbelievable.
And we got 500 acres of corn, and we ain't had a row steer yet. And I went up to Kentucky Monday.
Did you have an early crop like a lot of people did this time?
Yes. Everything has been, the winter was warmer than usual. And then March, it turned dry, it turned warm, it was 80 degrees.
Summer in the early spring.
In March, yes, in early spring. Wheat all matured, came in early. We'd never combined in May before. We were combining wheat. And normally that's always combining. You mentioned the Blackman barbecue in June. We're always combining during that barbecue week and right afterwards. But we were through by the 15th of June. We were through before we normally start.
The one thing that really controls farming more than anything else is the weather.
Is the weather. We're at the mercy with the weather. And that's just God's way and nature. And we'll start out in the winter after it's over and say, well, next year is going to be better. And
that's the best and what way you look at it.
Yeah, that's the only way you look at it.
But how does it control prices? I know it affects the income a whole lot because I think cows were doing pretty well, cattle, just recently.
Right, and the bottoms fell out in the last 2 weeks. We're like they were in Texas last year when they started selling. And some people I've talked to, they've already pulled out their weaker cows, the older cows, to get rid of them. The other people have got cows, no, I want to hold them, but they got to feed their whole winter supplied hay now. So what do you do in the winter? So cattle prices are dropping because they're going to be flooding the market with them. And they've got to almost go out of state.
Somebody like you is so dependent on the farm produce. How do you adjust to that? I know you've got a schedule set out as when the harvesting comes and all that other stuff.
It's like a yo-yo.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. Everybody in the county was dairy. This was one of the largest dairy counties in the state behind Greene County for years and years. I don't know, it's five or six maybe left milking, not many. And you had and your milk check came every 2 weeks. So you kind of had an income. Now with row crops and all is what you're depending on. They're far and in between, and you got to bridge the gap unless you got enough in storage to continue, like in the winter months, supply to sell and to get income. Wheat, we've sold a little wheat, but not much. But the markets, since it's dry weather, they've gone sky high. But nobody has any crop. There's no corn. Soybeans, they're drying up. Soybeans could still make it if they don't burn up this next week or two.
Soybean used to be the cash crop.
It was the cash crop, yes, yes.
And cotton.
And cotton.
And you have the type of land that is agreeable to both.
That's agreeable to both.
Yeah.
And, you know, even going back, I tell my West Tennessee friends, at one time, Rutherford County was the largest cotton-producing county in the state of Tennessee.
And people would say, what?
That's right.
Who has been in parts of Rutherford County, because you can't grow a tree in some of the places.
Right. But that's why we're in the Central Basin. That's where it's more the heat would trap down between the mountain range, if you look all the way outside from the Williamson County to Cannon and even going in Davison. And we're in a bowl, so it was always hotter here. And cotton was always king.
Oh, yeah. I can remember cotton. Manchester Highway, out your way. I'm just all over the place.
Picked when it was bringing to town, the side of the roads would be lined up where the cotton would blow off of the wagons and coming into town.
Farming is hard work. And you are an extremely bright fella. You really are.
Must not be too bright. I'm still doing it.
You could be doing anything that you've desired, but yet you stayed on that farm all these years. I mean, there were times when your property was worth an awful lot of money. It still is, but there were times it was gold out there.
It was higher then than it be now with their economy and all, but yes.
What is it, the draw, that keeps a farmer going? Because You're not going to – nobody's going to be able to take you out of the field. It's just going to be impossible.
Our farm is 200 years old. I don't know. I've always loved it. So like you, I guess a hobby is piddling around with the shop or doing some kind of work or farming. You're born there. Cemetery is there. You're buried there. And all my ancestors are there. But I don't know. I've just always loved it and liked it.
And been
involved in it.
There's some kind of peace in it, knowing that your family has been there so long and all of the people that have really made you and your family what they are today. That has to be something special. And you have your own cemetery out there. You got everything.
Well, it's so like other night I was on TV, Gone with the Wind was on. I hadn't seen that. And I watched a part of it, but brought back a lot of memories and to the land, because the all that land, we still got to know log shed and all where they came through and the logs left from it, and the Yankees took all the corn to feed their livestock, because they had horses. They had to have feed and everything, not only shooting, but to get by with.
But you gave it to them unwillingly, right?
Yes, they took it. They had axes and all and cut holes and things and burst everything up to get it. And I used and seeing Gone with the Wind, it still brings back memories.
Well, you know, it should, because you know that's a success story in itself, that you've been able to keep that farm in the family for so long through so many things. And I guess much more difficult than what you're going through right now.
Oh yes, yes, yes. It's survival, yes, and it's always had. It's up and downs. Every generation has had some kind of catastrophic thing to come up, and something has happened all the way through, even through the Depression.
Now, when your family first started to farm, is this farm that's intact right now, Is it close to the same size it was when they came in?
No, they had, they kind of divided up, had about 1,200 acres originally. And then as they were married to the sons, and it kind of split, but all of it still joined each other, and the cousin's uncle had it, but all that's gone now.
You're so fortunate to have that that way. And but you lost what, about 40 acres just recently?
25.
Was it 25?
25. Okay. Yes.
But of course it'll come back.
It'll come back. Yes. Yes. I'm just glad it wasn't any more than that, or it didn't get any. We self-contained it.
Mm-hmm.
It
was good that you knew what to do.
Yes.
Because, you know, people don't realize that we're sitting right on a major problem right here unless we get some rain pretty soon.
Right.
And I think that's the reason that, of course, it is a reason that they banned the fireworks and other places, although they were shooting around me out at my place. But we were over at my brother's house at Auburntown for the 4th of July picnic, and the family and Mike and Robbie really put on the great spread for us. And about, I guess it was probably about 6 o'clock, it started raining. And they had a great rain out there. I mean, it didn't take care of all the drought, but still it was enough to kind of give them a little bit of a boost.
Give a relief, and where you could be comfortable shooting fireworks. What a boy was telling me today, he had a 250-gallon water tank on his truck last night and a hose. He was ready to go because his neighbors over there were shooting, and it was dry, and he was just waiting for something to happen. But
now your wells, and the water is a big problem right now.
Well, I had a pump go out last Wednesday, and when it's over 100 degrees, hogs have got to have water.
Right.
So we got that fixed that morning. We checked the next well. I said, I'm having a problem with this well. And we tried it, and it's pumping out.
Is Wilbur getting plenty to drink?
He's getting plenty, but he ain't got a big swimming pool.
Well, we got to put our ears on, John, because we got a call. Caller, welcome aboard with John L. Beatty.
Good afternoon, Truman.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, it's hot and dry out here. I just wanted to call in and tell you I'm sorry for standing you up, and I appreciate the invite to come up there, but I thought I'd let John L. clean up and get up there and stay in the air conditioning for a little while.
You call what he is cleaned up?
You remember a couple of weeks ago I told you we always look better on radio than we do in public. So.
Well, when he came in, I started coughing with all the debris in the air when he came in.
Well, I've been trying for about 5 minutes to drink enough water to where I could even talk to you. It's
bless
so
your heart.
Out here.
I know it's tough.
But I wanted to call and personally say I'm sorry for not being able to make it today, and look forward to coming back up there again and visiting with you.
You ever thought about maybe you should have stayed in the barbecue business?
No. I wouldn't take anything for what I do.
I know that, Brandon.
It's hot. It's actually pretty miserable today, but we'll get through this and we'll move on and be better from it.
Oh, I know you will. You guys can't be conquered. I know that.
That's right. Somebody's got to be confident.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll let John L. take over, and he'll do a fine job.
Oh, I know he will. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you. See bye-bye.
Brandon Witt. Bless his heart. Now, you were going to have somebody else on, if I remember right. Emmeline, is that right?
Oh, could have, yes. Her, the granddaddy's got. She was in the truck with him because Emmeline, her sister Mary Corinne. I don't know if it had brother Thomas in there, but Brandon's daddy was going and getting Subway sandwiches for everybody, and they were bringing them back, and they were delivering them as I left.
Are you getting everything ready for the grand younguns when they get ready to take over sometime?
Well, I presume we show them around. They love it and hang around. And,
oh yeah, nothing like a farm. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that you've got it settled where that Beatty farm is going to be there from further than we will ever know.
Well, whatever the future holds or whatever they do, be fine. But at least I know right now they've got a life training as to what farming is. Now, when and what develops down the road, you know, after we're gone, we don't know.
When you were a kid, going to Mitchell Nelson and stuff like that, did you ever dream that you would stay on the farm?
I never did think. No, I didn't. Really didn't know. Really didn't think anything about it because that was just a daily habit. Because back then, before school, we got up and milked cows and came home in the evenings and milked cows and did your chores. Back in, when you had school clothes and you had barn clothes. And when you came in the afternoon, you put your barn clothes on. And your shoes and everything, because your school clothes were kept separate. Now, you might wear them the next year, your old school clothes, but after you outgrew them. But.
No, I never saw Marguerite in barn clothes, never. Did she take part? Because I just can't see Marguerite as a...
No, when I was milking, she was wanting something to do one summer, and she did milk.
Mm-hmm.
And one cow... But she didn't milk in the morning. She'd milk in the afternoons. Hmm. But she'd skip a lot.
Mm-hmm. Bless her heart. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with John L. Beatty.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS. The Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna. And AmeriCare Pest Control.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoken Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoken Associates.
Some big things happening in our community. Uncle Dave Making Days, Friday through Sunday, July the 13th through the 15th over at Cannonsburg. And while that's going on, the Murfreesboro Lions Club will have their Uncle Dave Fish Fry. That's at the Lions Clubhouse over at Cannonsburg. And about the same time, July the 11th through the 14th, a Wednesday through Saturday, the 117th Sons of the Confederate Veterans Reunion will be going on at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. 1,200 visitors to our community. That group will reenact Nathan Bedford Forrest raid on the historic Rutherford County Courthouse. Sounds like some interesting things. And all this month, you sign up for the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's Youth Football and Youth Cheerleading. The football is for youngsters ages 5 to 13, and the cheerleading is open to ages 7 to 13. For information, call the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department at 907-2251. And the special kids' friend raiser is Thursday, July the 19th, over at the World Outreach Church. This year's guest speaker is John Acuff. Call Special Kids at 893-4892. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
The 2012 Main Street Friday Night Live Concert Series is here. This Friday, hear the Stones River Pilots on the historic Murfreesboro Square. The Friday Night Live Concert is made possible thanks to the generosity of Murfreesboro's Bicentennial Committee. July is Music Month in Murfreesboro. Friday Night Live Concerts are another free event made possible by your nonprofit Main Street program.
Excuse me, can I cut in front of you there?
What's your hurry, sonny?
I'm trying to buy a winning sevens Tennessee lottery ticket right at 7 o'clock.
Ah, superstitious?
Well, July is the seventh month, and now it's $6.59.
What's it worth to you?
$20,000.
I'll take it.
No, the top prize is $20,000.
Wow, look at the time.
July just might be your lucky month. Play Winning Sevens, the new instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Can I help you?
Yes. Could I have seven winning sevens, please?
Honey, what month is it?
It's July, right?
You know what happens in July?
Let's see. Last July, you had a birthday.
You know what I want for my birthday?
No, but I'm about to find out.
My birthstone, a ruby.
Well, we better play the Tennessee Lottery.
They're not that expensive.
No, you're right. They're only a dollar.
Huh?
Ruby Riches from the Tennessee Lottery.
Turn $1 into $1,000 with Ruby Riches, the new instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
In fact, here are two tickets. Earrings.
WeatherEye.
A heat advisory continues through Friday evening. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon. Slight chance of isolated storms. High of 101. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 99.
A good Thursday to you. Today is the 5th of July. Our WGNS birthday cake winner today was Heather Lewis. Today, Heather is going to receive a free birthday cake. Compliments of locally owned and operated Junior's Foodland on East Main Street.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back to the John L. Lady Show. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography at 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro. And you can reach them at 615-396-8776 or on the internet www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon is a master craftsman photographer and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman. And they're both hometown guys, just like John L. And they're the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current, with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. You know, the history of the Blackman area and your farm and all that, it's one of the strongest and probably the one that you're probably more better related to than any of the other histories in this county. How did that area actually get started as far as what we know?
What we know, it was about a 7,200-acre land grant to the Armstrong, land grant they called it, and from the American Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And
which was quite common back then.
Yes. Yeah. And we don't know if a guy was a surveyor or surveyed or what, but Armstrong is the Armstrong branch you associate with Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Come all the way through Salem, through Blackman, and all the way back to exit 70 down on the interstate where Stewart's Creek is.
Some of the best land in Rutherford County,
yes,
right
yes,
through there.
Yeah. That whole area all the way through there.
Mm-hmm.
And where we got Mr. Armstrong never did come. I don't know if he was a colonel or captain or what he was. But his children's and offsprings, different ones,
mm-hmm.
came. He had some daughters. That's where you got Rucker Lane out there. They were mm-hmm. some of the early settlers. The Beasleys,
mm-hmm.
The Beatties came in, the Blackmen, the Basses, Bass Road, and most all the old names, so many of them road names, people, where'd you get those names? Nobody there. They're almost none of them left.
But those are prominent family names here.
Back then, yes, they were. And they divided up, and the Blackmans were probably the largest group. They were five brothers of them that came, and they settled the store. At that time, it was a Wilkerson crossroad because it was a crossroad right in the center of Blackman, where the store is and stop signs are. The Blackmans ran the store, and then another brother right there built a blacksmith shop. So everybody would kind of gather and they need the blacksmith, and then they filed for a petition to make a post office in the late 1800s, and Blackman had his post office.
So Blackman was pretty much self-sufficient.
Yes, yes. And we had three or four doctors that lived there in the neighborhood. It was prominent back then.
And there's all kinds of ways that you can go back in history. And one of the ways you and I were talking about before we came back on the air is your cemetery there. And you have all those names that are so prominent in the history. And you know, I look at these large cemeteries that most of us have plots and that. And then you think of having your own family cemetery. I know it has probably more pluses than negatives, but you kind of just have to hold on to the fact that your family is going to be able to stay there and take care of it as we all are gone.
You know, in these mass cemeteries, you know, part of your family is here, you go to the next section and somebody else.
Right.
And and you kind of get lost out there and you start looking at
them. Yeah, you get spread out. It's hard to find them.
But in ours, there's my mother and my daddy and my grandmother and my granddaddy and my uncle all one row. And then I think it was grandma's sister, two old maid sisters that were buried. And then Alfred Blackman, he died in 1899, is there, and one or two of his children. And then three or four great granddaddy. Mm-hmm. But I can go there and show them all who's there. Now, I've got grandchildren, which would make my daddy, but my children remember their granddaddy and tell them we're there about their granddaddy and what their granddaddy did and helped them. Well, I remember my granddaddy and tell my kid. I mean, you can...
That's the history, goes down.
Yeah.
But you tell stories other than just family because you were telling about somebody that was spending the night there.
Oh, yeah. Over the little stories we used to hear about somebody get up about the traveling salesman going through the areas and all. And you got to think about when you left Blackman's store, it wasn't but 2 miles. You didn't have but four houses, four different farms. It wasn't all these houses there now. So the traveling salesman was with Martin Woodsman of the World Insurance in, I think it's 1912. And he came and spent the night at granddaddy's house, and he happened to die. Passed away, so communication is not like it is today. They called Martin Woodsman. He had the dress and everything and got word back from them, and I don't know what they did with him over time. I guess took him to a funeral home somewhere, and they wound up burying him in the cemetery because they could find no family. The insurance company couldn't find anybody.
That's
so
amazing.
They buried him. Yeah. So companies keep up with people better, but they buried him there. But Martin Woodsman sent a tombstone, since he was a sales agent of theirs. It's logs. It's four logs at the bottom, then looks like a tree stump, and it goes up with limbs on it. Then one face is flat on there with his name and everything, but at the bottom of it, put there by the Martin Woodsman of the World.
And there he traveled all this while selling insurance, and he ends up at your house your plantation house.
Yeah.
He dies, and then the family buries him. That's pretty neat, because a lot of times it's pretty sacred ground for a family cemetery. You usually only want people that are in your family to be buried there.
Right. But they had insurance, I guess, with them, and he stayed there and he died there, so I guess least thing they could do was bury him.
Now, when you were a young fella and growing up over there, you met a young lady by the name of Melissa, and you started courting Melissa. How did you get beyond the clutches of Jean?
Oh, Jean's, whether it was Melissa's mother, well, that was pretty easy, Truman. In fact, I think it was the 1976, it was at Blackman Barbecue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Jean introduced me to her daughter.
Why would she do such a foolish thing?
Well, Sally was there with her and Melissa, too. Uh-huh. And they always said, and I never did know which one I was supposed to call on. I didn't know one from the other, but I did. So my mother-in-law introduced me.
Is Melissa any like Jean at all?
No.
Because she was one of the most interesting ladies I've ever known in my life. Because she worked up at the courthouse with Guy Dodson and Wiley and all the power brokers of the county.
Right, right.
But the one who seemed to have more power than anybody else was Gene.
Well, somebody stayed in the office, got to run the office with others out and make calls. That's what to do.
If anybody had a stranglehold on the attorneys in Rutherford County, it was her. And I used to love to go in there because she would, us that were in law enforcement, she'd treat us like kings. But the poor attorneys come in there, she made them step to a different beat, I guarantee you.
Well, I used to see Jean, because it used to be over in the courthouse, up on the third floor.
Right.
And that's where the extension agent and 4-H office were. Mm-hmm. So I'd seen her off time until they moved over there across the street and all. So I'd known her in a long time. So she introduced me to her daughter. We were just walking, you know, Blackman Barbecue was over at the old community club. And
outside, I see it over there.
Hot.
Yeah.
And passing through, she stopped, and we even square danced.
I don't remember having square dance over there.
Oh, we did out in the pavilion.
Oh, did you?
Yes, yes. And then we finally, while we concreted the pavilion, so we could square dance in it, and we'd put big fans in there and blow through.
Did you actually outgrow that area? Is that why
you had to
go somewhere else?
Yes, the parking activities got where the little wagon rides. We couldn't get the cars parked. We couldn't get in. And it's... over our lifetime, I think it's gotten hotter, Truman.
Oh, I think it has, too.
The winters, we get out, and the weather forecasters are better now because when we were in school, you know, we didn't know it was going to snow. The next morning, you get up, it was snow on the ground, 6-7 inches, and you didn't go to school, but it wasn't the day before. We didn't know it.
But it was so great. I mean, you going out, you'd have the parking area on the left, and you would have to cross the road to get where all the festivities were. And a lot of people that would go were older people.
Yes.
And it was difficult, but they would not swap it for anything at that time. It was something special.
The other side of the road had sold the land, the field we were parking in. When you used to park some at Dick Meadows.
Right.
Well, just slipped my mind who owned the other. And we parked there, and the old road was there, and it was easy to get out.
Uh-huh.
After they put the new road in, raised it up, and the water, so you had to come up an embankment to come back out.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriffs and the fire departments out there really controlled traffic, and it was good. But it was just the parking and getting in and out and...
But it showed you how important the place was because there are a lot of people took part in that barbecue.
Right, right. And so many, and it was to keep the community alive, to keep the name alive, because there was no school like other communities had.
Now, I know that you did it for the Blackman community. I know you did that. But did it actually support any financial cause or anything like that, or was it just to keep everybody together?
Keep everybody together, and back times you're talking about, so many people, kids were raised there went there, but they moved off, and they would come back vacation to visit their family and attend Blackman Barbecue, and it was sort of like a different family reunions because everybody was coming back at the same time and got to see each other, the ones they'd grown up with.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on when you bring just about every politician in the county and in the state out there a lot of times. And there's only two occasions that I can ever remember that were as popular as any other, and that was Blackman and the Lee Victory Fish Fry. It seems like that was a magnet to draw all the politicians in and meet everybody.
People came from all over to the barbecue, and it was always the fourth Friday in June. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get ready for campaigning and kicking off, because mm-hmm. most of them did by the 1st of July.
Right.
And we kind of went off of that. They did 60-something years ago. And it's always been a big draw. Even Abbott Gore Sr. used to come. Of course, Al used to come. Governor McWhirter's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, governors. President of the American Farm Bureau, Dean Kleckner, came 10 or 15 years ago somewhere. So it has drawn a lot of support. And that was where the old original Blackman School set was on that, was where the community club
now,
is now.
When did they tear that one down?
Well, a tornado came through.
And, oh, really?
It was called Blackman Academy.
Uh-huh.
And Daddy went to school there. My aunts, all of them went to school. They had blew away March 13th, 1913.
Amazing.
The day, and the tornado came back the next day, and that's when it got First Methodist Church tower and hit Murfreesboro the next day. But it blew the school away, and there were three kids and two teachers in the school. and they were fine. Nobody mm-hmm. was hurt. Mm-hmm. They were shook up. But Dad remembers going back. They went back to school the next day for leaving you. The school blew away. See, mm-hmm. people showed up. You didn't have communication.
Sometimes I think we're better off that way.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, you guys did something different this time, what I thought was ingenious. The politicians had their own little booths this time, and they're all lined right up against the wall. So there really wasn't any contact going on unless you wanted to go and say hi to people that were over there. I thought that was kind of a good way of doing it.
Well, that kind of just happened the week of the barbecue, because mm-hmm. one of them called, was wanting to set up a card table and a booth inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought about it. Well, we had to pay for the rent of a thing, so we charged for their booth if they wanted one.
Good for you.
And it helped offset our cost to do it. But I think it worked out great. Some of them said, well, I don't want the politicians there. Well, you don't know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to get to meet them, mm-hmm. know them. They know you. If you got a concern,
right.
let them know.
Right.
That's there to solve problems that we have. And you need to know who they are.
I think you're exactly right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with John L. Beatty.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola, amigos. This is Sergio from Okay, Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us. Come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. Go and join us for a good quality meal.
Mondays are mini burritos, Tuesdays are tacos, and Wednesdays are enchiladas for just 99 cents. Happy hour every day from 3 to 7 at OK Jose.
OK Jose Tex-Mex Cuisine in the Walmart Shopping Center on Rutherford Boulevard. Where are you going for lunch?
OK Jose.
Join Special Kids for our annual fundraiser banquet on Thursday, July 19th at World Outreach Church. This event is a time to celebrate and support the life-changing work at Special Kids. Member of the Dave Ramsey Speakers Bureau, author and blogger John Acuff will share his humorous insights, while dinner will be provided by Demas's Restaurant. Tickets are $100 and can be purchased online at specialkidstn.com or by calling 615-893-4892.
Weather Eye.
A heat advisory continues through Friday evening. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon. Slight chance of isolated storms. High of 101. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 99.
If you've got an iPhone, we have an app for that. If you're an Android user, we have an app for that, too. You can listen to us anywhere, on air and on demand. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with John L. Bay. You know, John, You've been a member of all the schools that the farmers had when they were younger and growing up. And I was over at MTSU's big dairy place that they've got. I mean, you talk about something that is light years away from what we used to know as farms.
Right.
How have you been able to adjust to all the changes that have been going on? And I know that you're strong in all the farmers' organizations. What do you guys do to try to make things better, healthier, yet still be able to deal with some of these weather problems and all the other things that you have to put up with?
Well, Truman, it's called technology.
Yes.
And technology has changed in our lifetime.
Thank goodness for Brandon.
That's right. And the young ones are even a seven-year-old grandchild. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you work this iPhone? How do you do? And they're flipping everything on it. Unbelievable what they're learning. Technology has changed. We've changed over the years. And so many people don't realize it's changed, and you still think you're out there on an old tractor pulling a disc or plow or a baler, nothing's changed. But all this is high tech. And even in chopping silage, you got monitors inside this cab. It's all electronic. You can just push if you want the spout to turn. Mm-hmm. And when you, where we used to get off and go have to unhook the wagon, it's you just push the button, the wagon unhooks. You don't ever get out of the cab. You don't have to.
Sounds too easy.
It sounds, but if it breaks down, you're in the sun, it's hot. Round baling hay, monitors sit there and tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Automatically shut off when the bale's done. It, you don't have to tie it. It'll automatically do it. GPS systems that we use for guidance and all, and we don't have them. Some of them have them. With your GPS, you can get auto steering, and that's why you see so many straight corn rows or cotton rows and all now, because with your GPS, as you turn the tractor at the end, but when you turn back around heading straight, you turn the steering wheel loose, and that GPS and the auto steer line everything up until you get to the end of the field.
That's amazing. I never thought it was at that level.
Yes. And it's been that way for years. And even combining and harvesting, you got stacks of monitors in there. And it's telling you, going through the field, what the moisture is on this corn, how many bushels per acre. And you can see it up and down. It's whether you're down in a swag or going up a hill, that thing is just up and down, and you've got a little chip you can put in there. It'll tell you when you get through the total number of bushels out of this field, and then you scroll down, put in another field, the name, number of the field, or the name, or wherever you are. Then you can pull that chip out, and you got all your information right there.
Sounds like you're almost in a spaceship instead of a tractor.
You are. And with electronics and all, everything is monitored. If a beep or a buzzer goes off, it lights up what's wrong.
Do you feel like that as a farmer, you know, you grow all your food just about, probably. I mean, you've got your eggs and everything else, and of course, Wilbur's, he's all,
but we got
nobody's
bacon.
Touching.
We got bacon.
Nobody's touching
Wilbur. We don't eat anything we name.
But don't you feel like that it's a much healthier life than, say, us, the rest of us. That, of course, we go into all these shopping places, and food is absolutely delicious. But something that's just special about homegrown food, I've even always thought that the eggs that you got from the hen is herself, that it will always taste better.
Well, they were fresher.
Yeah.
I mean, you go gather them today, you might eat them tomorrow or the next day, but they didn't have to be shipped. And I'm still waiting on some red ripe tomatoes. We've got tomatoes, but none of them.
How
the
son
has just cooked them.
There's not much you can do about that, is it?
No, it's not much go. But you're closer to it, and your food. We always kill the beef, put it up. You mm-hmm. know what you fed him. You know where it came from. Mm-hmm. We don't have to stuff it with nitrates and preservatives and all, because it goes from the butcher shop to your freezer. Hogs, same way.
How's the farmer's market? Has it been able to survive right now?
They're still. I don't know what will happen this week. Mm-hmm. After another week, they've got farmers at the Ag Center, Lane Agri Park tomorrow. I don't know. And then on the square on Saturday. Now, I've been the month of June, started selling the farmer's market on the square.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Selling pork.
Mm-hmm.
We've been making sausage probably 25 years in the fall, and people want sausage and said, oh, they like my...
Now, is your sausage hot?
We've got hot sausage, mm-hmm. but primarily we stuck with mild sausage. Mm-hmm. But with my recipe that Dad and them had that we liked, and you know you're eating sausage. Yes,
right.
It's got sage in it, it's got pepper in it. But you can feel it, but it doesn't... it's got a little pepper, but it doesn't continue to get hotter and hotter where it's chewing it. So we've got spice, but we're selling on the square and started 1st of June.
I'm sure that you're selling out every time you
go.
Now, when does it start? Say if you go into the square. What
square
time?
At 8 o'clock, and they wait until the bell.
That's on a Saturday, right?
On a Saturday at 8 o'clock, 8 to 12. And usually the first 2 hours, it was so hot last Saturday, we didn't go. It was too hot.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning on going this Saturday because we weren't there last Saturday. We're more prepared. But about 10 o'clock, the whole crowd played out because it was 98, 99 degrees.
Now, is it kind of like the, I hate to use the word stock market because it kind of goes together, but is it like when you get there before 8 o'clock, you don't really start until... It's kind of like the bell goes off,
right.
and then everybody charges wherever they want to go.
And last week, before last when we was there, we had a line from both ends of the tent
mm-hmm.
waiting to get ours, because we had bacon, we had ribs and pork chops, and we don't have many of them. And they went out fast. By about 9:30, that's gone.
Oh, my.
But we still have sausage, and we've also got Italian sausage we're fixing, and sweet Italian, and stuff we never did have growing up.
And it's homegrown.
All
right,
homegrown,
there at your place.
But we got a processor.
Uh-huh.
It's all government inspected. It's gone through
mm-hmm.
Everything, and you got to go through the red tape, like selling anything with license. You got to get a license from the Ag Department. Department of Agriculture, that you're a
Does
vendor.
Does that set well with you? I mean, all these farm products that have been able to sell all these years and that.
Yeah, you kind of need
Is it that big of a problem?
Well, I don't know. There was a bill a few years ago where people was wanting to go back and sell whole milk. Well, you and I were raised on whole milk.
Loved it.
Straight from the cow. That's all we knew. You know, we wanted ice cream.
I love the taste of onions with it.
Yeah, yes. over our lifetime, we needed kind of pasteurized and cooked and done something to it.
Well, it's been a great show. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think Brandon would have ever gotten in a word. So maybe it was good
that
he has all
of
those duties. And I hate calling him a line, because I was really looking forward to meeting her.
I could have brought her. We were rushing so to get here. It didn't even cross my mind a second time.
Well, John L., get back to the fields. Go out there and enjoy farming. And let's hope you get some rain.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And appreciate what you do, Forest Trumas. And keep up the good information.
I have fun with every one of you guys.
It's good.
See all of you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.